and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, a day
417.
How are we all doing?
I want to ask Johnny a question.
Wow, my mic's straight in there. Where you go, boy?
Go and look at the chat.
Hang on, I'm getting there. I am trying to do 27 jobs at once here.
Johnny right. Probably knows what the question is.
Hello, Sarah. Congratulations. Yay. Hello, Kim.
Well, Johnny, I did know a bit of Hebrew in my time, and that's certainly not Hebrew. SDFGSD. But then he says I was too busy opening a packet of Vic Rolls.
Oh, for crying out loud. Jonathan, enjoy the Vic Rolls. Oh, Sarah's on a roll here. An absolute roll.
I used to eat fig rolls.
No, not me for fig rolls. No, definitely not. No. Wouldn't end well.
What are fig rolls? They're biscuits.
Is it dates?
I think it's... Well, is it dates or figs?
It's probably figs. But, yeah. You know, figs, no. No.
I'll find
I had a nasty
run-in
with a bottle of syrup of figs when I...
Fig
when
roll.
I was younger, no. Leave the figs alone.
There you go. It's got its own Wikipedia page with a picture.
Good grief.
I will post it for Kim.
It's random letters, Mike. But, you know, I'm sure it all means something.
Right, there you go, Kim. Fig rolls. Oh, Johnny's...
You and Johnny symbiotic, what can I say? Oh, we've had some fun and games here today. First of all, I've got to share this with you. Because if you scroll down far enough, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Hello,
grief,
are you away?
9, 10. The 10th one, it's dogs at polling stations. It's election day here. So it's dogs at polling stations. And there's one that looks like Kiva. with paws upon a wall, and it says Hartlepool. I went to Hartlepool once.
I know,
was it
did. Did you read all the captions? Did
no.
you notice what one of the dogs is called?
No.
Dax.
Dax the dog?
Yeah.
Oh, good grief, that's a good name. There's an Alfie there as well.
As in Dax language.
And a Daniel Dylan Ray.
I mean, that's like, that takes us back to the conversation the other night with Coda, who I saw this morning. And I thought, hello, 1Password.
I do think that looks a little bit like Kiva. I think
does.
It's the fur on it.
It does.
Oh dear. Yes, we've Lola's done the polling station thing. She was disgusted, as per usual. There's a very interesting polling station there, though, if you've looked at it, Mike. The dot.
Oh yeah, I saw
the Polka Dot Bankview Cafe in Sheffield. There's no missing that, is there?
If you're going to call a dog Dax, why not call it VBA or Python?
Because they might not know, and who wants a dog called Python? Imagine there probably is a dog called Python.
It's, of course they know.
Oh, there must be a way.
You wouldn't call a dog Dax if you didn't know the
but
language.
But I still think they're all very cute, particularly the one in the dicky bow. That was a Hackney. He's so cute. He's so tiny, but so cute. Oh, that's a male dog, though. Let me have a closer look. Hang on. Yes, I think you're right, it is. But it still looks a little bit Kiva-ish. I think it's the fur. Oh, yes, they're all very, very cute anyway. But not as cute as Lola, obviously. While we're talking about idiocy, this one takes the biscuit as well. Now, you have to be aware of our experience in the UK for this to make much sense. But a lot of companies in the US... refuse to deal with anybody from the UK or Europe after the GDPR thing, that European rules are too strict. Last night, I was talking to a guy from Germany in one of my sessions, and he said, oh, I can't use... You were talking about software that can and can't be used, and he said, no, I can't use that one. It's not secure enough. It doesn't have end-to-end encryption, and it doesn't have two-factor. He said, if I were to put the contact details, like just a name and phone number, into this application, he said, I would have broken the law in Germany. That's how strict it is. So, now knowing all of that, just take a read at this one. Unbelievable. If you go to the COVID booking site in the UK and you just put in somebody's name, age, you know, date of birth, so name, date of birth and postcode, which are all publicly available, it will tell you their COVID vaccination status. Kind of by accident, you know, this wasn't built deliberately for this, but kind of by accident. And what I mean by that is you put your name in, you put your date of birth, you put your postcode, and it will come back with one of three things. Either it will say, do the onboarding, because you are unvaccinated. It will say you've already had vaccine one, book for vaccine two. Or the third option is it will just say to you, you don't need to be vaccinated at the moment. You are fully vaccinated. So anybody who has those three pieces of information about me can go and see my vaccination status. Oh, and at the bottom, there's this fabulous piece in there. And I literally laughed out loud. You know, Mike's in the middle of a webinar and I'm like, don't laugh out loud. But it was all to do with protecting blah, blah, blah and scammers and blah, blah, blah. And when it went on, where is it? Oh, they're getting away with it by saying it doesn't actually give you access to people's medical records, but, you know, it might as well do. But basically in there, it said it's very important that... let me get this the right way around. It's very important that people don't have access to this. I thought you can stop right there. But they gave a reason, which was people's anti-vax friends would know if they'd started the vaccination procedure and might put pressure on them. And I thought, it's way more likely to be the other way around with us. But I haven't gone and done the deed or anything like that. That is shocking. It's absolutely shocking.
Anyway, I forgot to tell you, changing subject totally.
What have you been up to?
I got an email at work. And it's saying that, sorry, it's nothing to worry about. Well, actually, it might be something to worry about. It's addressed to all Mac users, and it says you can now upgrade to Big Sur.
Oh, joy of joys.
So I got my magic pen, you know, my Zoom it, and I wrote in big letters, Biggles, across the screen.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Right, let me catch up. It's just wrong on in that many ways. You just can't speak. Do you know, if the UK can make a massive balls up, they will. Simple as. We do actually have in the UK. We do have in the UK an NHS number, which is your medical number, and it's on a card. How many people who are in the UK know your medical number? I know it. Well, I don't know it off by heart, but I have access to it because it's given to you at birth. So mine's on like a piece of cardboard. Seriously.
Your national insurance number.
No, not your national insurance number. No. Yeah, your NHS number, don't which know is my different. NHS number. Your NHS number is totally private to you. So at least if they'd have asked you for your NHS number, it would have been more private than it is right now. But my reckoning is not many people know their NHS number. I would know it because I've got it on this card, but I only have this card because given to you at birth, your parents have to give it to you. Mike's actually got his, which is good going, but I don't think many people... I know my NHS number by heart. You're quite right, Simon, your NHS, your national insurance number, but this NHS number's separate, and because it's a little bit more private, you wouldn't be giving your NHS number to your employer, for example. Because one of the things in that long story about who can access it is they were saying that it's bad because the information, your name, date of birth and postcode, your employer has. So they could check up on your vaccine status, which is so bad. But your NHS number, you don't have to give that to your employer or anybody else either. The only time you would be asked for that is probably at the point of needing treatment on the NHS. And they don't insist that you have this NHS number. But if you have, then it's better. Bad news all round. Jonathan's been asked for the NHS number so many times you've remembered it. Otherwise, they get the records mixed up with another Jonathan Isaacs. What? Then there can't possibly be more than one of you, Jonathan. That is bad. Again, you shouldn't really need this number, but I'm just thinking... It would be better to do it by number because it's unlikely anybody would know it but you. I've never actually been asked for it. I have been to like A&E, the emergency department for those abroad. And they might say, do you know your NHS number? But so many people don't. They don't insist on it. They'll try and find it then based on the information that you've given them, which will be your name, your date of birth, your address and your doctor. But what to do if there's two Jonathan Isaacs at the same doctor? I don't know. That would confuse them. But then it shouldn't have the same date of birth. Unless there really is a second Jonathan out there. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Sarah doesn't know her NHS number. No idea how you would find it. Your GP should have it. It should be on your medical records. I think the other thing you can do is there is like an NHS helpline, and you could ring them, and if they can't provide it, ask them how you would get hold of it. It's on a little card and it says, like, you know, NHS number, and then there's like some blurb underneath. But like I say, they don't reissue these things. So when I got my national insurance number, which you get just before you leave school, it was on a piece of card. And about 6 months later, they switched to a credit card. And I thought, oh, that would be so much better. And they said they would go backwards and dole them out, but they never did. So I still have it on a piece of card. But, you know, that is something that, you know, you do internalise because you use it for your tax situation. And then, of course, there's your tax reference number. Oh, you know, I have so many numbers. But the NHS number in particular, you don't tend to use that much. It's not like you'd be turned away for treatment if you didn't have it. So on that basis, that's the number to use in this circumstance. But so many people don't know it, they're probably letting you skip by. But it's a good idea to try and find it, put it like that, because then at least everything, there's less chance it'll go wrong. Like all the things that have gone wrong as well. But that one, if any other company did that, like a phone company. You know that book I've been reading, the Cyber Wars thing? TalkTalk got fined $460 million for a breach of customer information. The NHS, well, is that the NHS? Or is it some of Boris's friends? Whoever set that up wants shooting or fining or both. Good night, Jonathan. NHS's number usually on appointments or letters from the hospital. I mean, I would expect it would be Anthony, because it just makes logical sense, doesn't it? That's your reference. But, you know, if you've not seen the doctor since the last millennia, me, and you've not had any hospital appointments, it could well be that you literally don't know it. I think it'd be a good idea right about now, you know, given the circumstances, if they created the plastic credit cards with a number on and sent them out to you. Because people are far more likely to take notice of that. I mean, one thing I've never done with my NHS number is put it in one password, which is ludicrous. I should do that. All my other numbers are in there. My tax references, my national insurance number, passport number, you name it. It's all in one password, but not the NHS number, because you need it so infrequently. But at least if they'd put that on the front of this website, then there would be one piece of information that's not publicly available or that your employer wouldn't have. But there's nothing. Because I looked at that and I thought, anybody who knows me, particularly from church, would know all of that information. Because, you know, Facebook would give it to them. Although my date of birth's wrong in Facebook, but never mind. You know, people do know how old you are. They do know when your birthday is. They do know your name. And they would know your postcode. So I could look anybody up. Anybody interested in anybody? That is so bad. But there you go. There are so many Kim Smiths. Yes, but only one that's MacBiter Kim Smith. And that's all that matters, Kim. Kim was watching Danny again. He went in some takeaway. Shots to use his smartphone for track and trace. So glad you don't have that here. You like your privacy. That has been a revelation at church. There were people who didn't know what a QR code was, much less how to use them with their phone. But now on the church doors, you have to swipe the QR code. Everybody knows what a QR code is and they're all swiping quite happily. I must admit, it doesn't appeal to me. But then I've not been anywhere, so I don't have to worry. The only QR code that bothers us here is the one by the front door, which is the guest network. So you can walk in, you can swipe the QR code and you are sent to the guest network and you can get internet. But other than that, we're not bothered. Oh, dear, dear, dear. There was a character in Viz magazine called Lookalike. Oh, see what they did there. Who loved being mistaken for many people, such as celebrities, and getting preferential treatment. But then one day he woke up in hospital and they said, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Peabody, we've had to amputate your legs." That reminds me of when my gran was in hospital. She'd been in there quite a few weeks, and there was I think it was a lady brought in, and she was in the bed opposite. And she was brought in for one thing, something like to do with an arm, like a broken arm, but she was elderly. And she'd been in the hospital 5 weeks at this point. So if you've been somewhere for 5 weeks, if something happened now, you got infected with something, the odds are, let's be honest, it happened in the hospital. Because 5 weeks in, it's not likely that that happened before the 5 weeks. Anyway, this lady was saying she wasn't feeling too good. Well, my gran was sort of, I think gran was worse than she was. Anyway, all of a sudden, this bed, on the, like they're just entering the sixth week of gran being in there and this lady. Mum goes to visit and she says, what's happened to Doris? And gran says, oh, they took her away. So the bed's empty. So mum's thinking, good grief, she didn't die, did she? Because it was only a broken arm. And she said, no, I think they took her to theatre. Mum's thinking, what for? They set the arm 6 weeks ago. So they were literally at the point, oh, you'll be able to go home next week, Doris. So she said, oh, maybe they've taken them down to have the cast off. Anyway, a couple of days later, Doris was back without a leg. She caught some kind of infection in the hospital and they didn't notice until it was gangrenous, and then they had to cut a leg off, which wasn't what she went in for. Avoid hospitals at all cost. I was incredulous when Mum was telling me. But Mum was worse because she was like, she could understand that something happened. It happened to that actress, didn't it? Leslie Ash had an accident at home. It was a bit dicey, that, but that's another story. And ended up in hospital where she caught MRSA, and she still walks with a stick, and it's about 20 years later. But the fact that this woman had been in there recovering for 6 weeks was what had Mum incredulous. So she'd come home and she'd scrub herself in the shower. It's not funny. It isn't, but honest to God, just don't go in. Don't go in. If the GP offers online appointments and prescriptions, it's on that system. As far as I know, Anthony, our GP still uses a quill pen, which works quite nicely for me. I'm quite happy with that. Get a cheap domain and choose an email that comes with it. That's a good idea. It's a good idea. Hospital documents have your NHS number. Just check the EHIC card to see if it was there, and amazed it's not on there. I mean, there's no foolproof way to give you some kind of identification reference, be it a number, a reference, whatever it is. Have you quite finished now? Daddy said he'd take you out. You didn't want to know. Want to go out now, Daddy?
Come on.
Come on, man. Chundering away with a little self. Off your toddle. If you've got this number, they would need some kind of the same reference to make sure it's the right number. So there's no way to keep it 100% private unless they gave you an NHS account with two-factor on. That would work, but that's obviously beyond them. And if you've read this book that I read, it was like, really? Are you serious? One was about WEP, W-E-P, which is a wireless encryption protocol. Wide open. You might as well not bother putting a password on it. It's wide open. They also talked about the Internet of Things, and that was terrifying enough to think, do you know what? Never going to do that. Let's take the light bulbs out. Not doing that. Just because of the security. But I think with the COVID thing, there's so much more involved with it in terms of people pushing people to have vaccinations, people saying you shouldn't have vaccinations. It's nobody else's business but yours. But now this has been on the BBC. I just said to Mike, I can imagine people hitting that up now with, you know, I'll just go through my address book and see where people are at with the vaccine. I could imagine that. And the other thing, of course, is somebody could actually book you on for a vaccine because there's nothing to stop them. There's absolutely nothing to stop them, which is also quite frightening. And then you get contacted with, well, you didn't turn up for your appointment. Would this be the appointment that I know nothing about? That one. Anything could happen. It's bad form. Bad, bad form. Right. Kim doesn't like app developers knowing that much about you. Don't trust them at all. Neither do I. Kim and Kiva.com. That would be cool. Oh, Line of Duty. Where are you up to with Line of Duty, Kim? Where are you at? The domain is still available, claim it. Two major universities in Washington State have come out and stated that you must be vaccinated to attend. We haven't exactly had that here yet. There was talk about it for holidays, but I don't really know where they're up to. I don't think they know where they're up to. The holiday announcement should already have happened, but it hasn't. So they're going to have to sort out something with that. I believe that's coming either middle of next week, something like that. But people seem to want to go on holiday, which I have no problem with, just don't come back. But apparently they want to come back as well. I can't see why a holiday out of your own country at the moment is so important to put people's lives at risk, not yours, but the other people. You could always say, you know, if you want to go abroad, may I suggest India? Because people would say, oh, no, I'm not going there. But how do you know anywhere else is any safer? I mean, all this kicked off, didn't it, with the skiing trips in Italy. And I must have inadvertently thought that France and Switzerland were much more destinations for skiing holidays. I didn't realise the skiing thing in Italy was as big as it is. But we think, I mean, we had that thing at Christmas, and somebody from the church had been to Italy skiing, and they had the cough and stuff. Most of the church had the cough. Nobody got that bad with it, but then it was early on. But it was the weirdest thing. And I remember having a conversation with two friends who sit in front of us. And I said, well, I felt a bit rough last week. I had a really bad throat. But it just went away. It never developed into a runny nose, which always happens. And they said exactly the same. Well, at that stage, you didn't even know you were putting yourself at risk. But now people do, and they still want to go on holiday. Yeah, I'd rather stay at home. Only me. I think it's poor. What are they doing with Kim, with the people who can't have a vaccine, where it's contraindicated? Are they allowed to attend or not? Because they started banging on about herd immunity, didn't they? But what happens to them? You've seen all the Line of Duty you can see on Prime. Finished season four. Very intriguing with H. Oh, season four, wasn't it fantastic? Didn't you love what happened to Roz? Because I certainly did. Wasn't a character I warmed to, put it like that. We'll have to get you season five and six so you can watch the rest of them. There were seven episodes in six, and I think six episodes in five. That makes sense, wouldn't it? Let's have a look. Renee's getting a shot the day after my birthday. Day after Irwin's birthday as well. And isn't it Simon's anniversary around that time? Am I correct here? I had it was either Mike's birthday or my birthday. Or was it Mrs. Simon's birthday? It's all coming back to me now. I'm gone. I'll find it. It's a very important day. 2 weeks next Wednesday. Oh dear. June the 24th. So you know already. No, we're not at that stage here. Not yet. We must all have had COVID early on. I think we might have done, Kim. I really do. But then that proves the point, which is on my mind now, that if we did have, we certainly didn't go abroad. It just shows you how fast that could spread. A new variant of it, whether you're vaccinated or not. You know, it only takes one person doing something stupid, going on holiday, and coming back with it. And before you know it, everybody's got it. Now, I guess I'm more at risk than most at the church because I was Eucharistic minister. So you're actually handing the wine out, handing the host out. But even so, I would say the majority of people did get it. And be it COVID or just a cold, that could happen at any point. And I'm quite liking the fact that if I don't go out, I don't get ill. Because it takes me ages to recover from that. Mike can get a cough and a cold, and he's done in like a week or 10 days. But me, it can be 6 to 8 weeks later, and I'm still coughing and I'm still struggling. So I don't really want my production schedule interfered with to that degree. Do you know, I must dig out a presentation that I did years ago. It was probably about 2012 or 2013. And I actually had on my desk, I struggled through this presentation live, but I struggled through it with that many medications. It was unbelievable. And they were all on the desk. And Mike said, you've got to take a photo of that. And I did. And I put it in the presentation. You should have seen it. It looked like a chemist. But, you know, yes, I did manage to get it through. But in terms of I could do a single course, a single session. But if I was recording a course over maybe 3 or 4 weeks, your voice would sound different each time you did a video. So you can't. So it's actually quite important that I don't get that ill. And that, what we think was COVID, was about 3 days and then it just totally vanished. And that was what made us think this is a bit weird. But that was very early, because we even went away, didn't we, to Alverston at the end of February. It was early March when I said, you know what, let's batten down the hatches. So that would have been 2 and a bit months before then. So I think maybe it got worse as it got passed around. Well, if it was, we were very lucky. But obviously, we're that far past it now. They couldn't check for antibodies or anything. But we know, because there's nothing we've ever had like it, where it just where the sore throat didn't translate into anything else. Oh, but I would have loved to have known. I would. Sarah's waiting for the second jab. Not got it yet. Due beginning of June. They're quite late letting you know, though, aren't they, Sarah? They don't kind of let you know 3 weeks in hand. It's like, you know, Tuesday and that's it. Or tomorrow. In the Wilhelmstadion. Maybe Mike has heard of them. I think he will have done. I think he will have done. That rings a bell to me. We might have bought a player from there. Don't know. Wait for Mike to get back. Kim loves Line of Duty. It has been the most amazing series. There was another one I quite enjoyed that had Martin Compston in it. Martin's the one who plays Steve, which I don't know if Steve's had a beard yet, because when Steve started, he looked like he was 12 and now he's got a beard and looks all grown up. It's called Traces. Only one series so far, but they're recording another. It was quirky. I mean, it's not Line of Duty, but it wasn't at all bad. It was one of the better ones, shall we say. Oh, Renee doesn't know which, Pfizer or Moderna. Did I see correctly that Tracy's got hers sorted out as well? Oh, in 2016, Kim had a cough, took 4 months to get over it. Oh, that is bad news, isn't it? And of course, while that's happening, worrying about it's probably making it worse. I've had situations where, well, what happened in 2013 it was. It was when my dad died. I must have, like, you know, like you're running on pure adrenaline and then he dies and you let your guard down. And I got this tooth abscess. Oh, God, was this painful. But I managed to get through it. And then Maya died. And I must have done the same again. I got another tooth abscess. Hence, when Mum died, you know, I'm going to have to go and see the dentist because I can't take any more of these abscesses. So I did. Is she back in now and happy with her little self?
Yes.
Have you played and have you sorted your face out?
No.
Oh, you dirty dog. Where's the mark? Where's the mark, Lola? She's barking, mad dog. I thought she had a dentistic left, or did she eat that yesterday?
No, she had that yesterday.
Oh, she's raided the dentist's.
The packet was there. There's the empty packet.
Right, so what have we got in here? Oh, we've got 4 red ones in here, which means she can have a red one. Right, where are you? Come on. Come on, Paul.
She's left those on the floor.
Lola. There we go.
Don't wheel over them.
I won't wheel over them.
Although flattened what's his sticks.
Oh, good grief, Renee. When we were in Italy, we slept in a pesticide-infested apartment. You had laryngeal spasms in 2018. Do you know, it's worrying, isn't it? I know this is all supposed to have come from China and the bird thing and all the rest of it, the wet markets. But now I'm just looking at everybody and thinking, unclean, unclean. There's nothing as clean as, like, do you remember at the beginning when I was trying to get an order, a time slot at Morrison's, and you could only have three of anything? So it's like, I'll get three toilet cleaners and three different toilet cleaners and three house cleaners, three bathroom cleaners. We can't move in our bathroom for cleaning stuff, but you know what? Everything's pristine clean. Nobody's talking about washing their hands anymore or anything.
No, so, but I do.
Well, I do. And I've still got the hand sanitizer. At the last count, I think I had... Is it something like 18 litres of that? No, there's five in each one, isn't there? And I think I've got for about 25 litres of hand sanitizer. So should anybody, you know, venture in the place, that they can be doused in that. But I'm going to carry on with that. I think it's too important not to. Oh, dear. Oh, Tony's got his second jab 3 weeks early. Could have an appointment tomorrow if you weren't booked out and back with the surveys. Oh, well, at least you're going to get the second one. Make sure it matches the first one, because that's also something that's happened. Because either the computer system's wrong, which we've had Alex confirm, and Jonathan, that it went on the computer wrong. I mean, how you can get something like that wrong, I don't know, but that's another story. Just make sure you get the right one. That's why they should give you a card. That way it's in your possession and not theirs, and you know what you had. And why aren't the packages organised like they are at the vets, with labels that you just take off and stick where they need to go, or be scanned, and that way they can't be wrong? But there again, given our computer systems, and I've just explained all that, you can see why it's going wrong. I hope these people that have had the wrong ones are all right. We're now talking about boosters in September. The way it's going, some of us won't have had the first one by then. But carry on. Nothing to see. Move along. You've got more vaccine than people who want to take it, Kim. Well, I guess they are going to be rolling them out again, though. Are you doing boosters? Right, let's catch up. Should send them to India. India are in dire need, aren't they? Not so much vaccines at the minute, because there's too many people with it. Just things like oxygen. I wonder how they're coping with PPE. Because I would say our NHS was fairly organised with stuff like that, but there was no PPE at the beginning. That should just be standard now. There shouldn't be a kind of... There should be no non-barrier nursing. Everybody should be protected at all times. Steve looked like a little boy at the beginning. He did, didn't he? He looked totally lost. I remember the first 10 minutes of series one with, like, oh, wow. And then, you know, when he walked up from the door that they'd gone through and they'd shot that guy, and he walked up to the other door and he, like, picked up the number and swizzled it round, and it was like for the lack of a nail. That was shocking. But that was what got him into AC12. So worth it. But the beard didn't suit to me. It was like he still looked really young. So much so, I looked up how old he was. I think he's 38. He looks nothing like 38. And if he shaved that beard, he'd look 12. He probably grew the beard because he hadn't really changed since he was in this series as a kid. I never saw it. But there's a photo on like a DVD cover. And he really is about 14. And he hasn't changed at all. So I get why he did that. And I don't think Ted changed much either. I think he's in his early 60s now. But, you know, he could get away with being 50. I inadvertently, I was on the Amazon Prime Video thing, and it said, you might like this. And it was called IT, and it was about an IT department. I thought, you're right, I might. It started. And this guy just focused on his face on the screen. And I glanced and I thought, good grief, that looks like Pierce Brosnan. But in the next breath, it can't be. He's way too old. It was Pierce Brosnan. And he said, and they were doing a profile of this character in the film. He's 52. I thought, Pierce Brosnan's never 52.
Is he?
No, he's not. He's certainly not younger than I am. So I went and did the Googles. No, he's nearly 70, for crying out loud. I thought, no, Pierce, you're not going to get away with being 52 for much longer, mate. Trust me on that. Oh, dear. Anyway, it wasn't the best of films. I wouldn't recommend it. I had a great cast, but I wouldn't recommend it. I did hear that Bill Gates was getting divorced, and I was quite surprised because they seem well suited. I remember when they got together, it was like no one knew who she was. And they'd always kept their private life incredibly private. What was the phrase you used that they'd used? Something like, we can't grow together anymore.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And I'm like, What? What? If you're together and you love each other, what does that mean? Can't grow together. That's bizarre. You've got two plants sharing the same pot.
We want to be in the garden.
Can we grow together?
Yes.
You reckon?
Yes.
Oh, whatever that means. I don't know what that means. No, seriously, I don't. I'm thinking about that.
Shall I Google it
for you? How do people grow apart? I guess that's if one person wants to do one thing and one person wants to do another. So if Mike decided he was going back to Windows or something like that, we wouldn't be able to grow together.
We cannot grow old together, says Bill and Melinda Gates.
Oh, grow old together. Well, now, that's a different spin.
Two of the three say we believe we can no longer grow together, and one says we believe we can no longer grow old together. How do you grow together? Be honest with each other. Discuss the future. The best date. Oh, that's a sponsored one. Be willing to compromise. Be straightforward with your feelings. Accept one another's human qualities. Anyway, why are we discussing their private life?
I just think it's sad. They've got three kids. It's sad. Anyway, this growing old together business, it makes it sound to me like, well, all the things you've just said, just be each other's best friend.
Yes.
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 Yes, I made you do that first, didn't I?
Yes.
Mike had to be a friend before he could ask me out. Oh, no, no. You can't just be asked out by random people. Oh, no, I have to know people very well.
Renee's being rude.
Hmm?
Renee's being rude.
Oh, rude Renee. I'll catch up with that. They don't give you a card. No, Kim. They were giving it as a card at the beginning. And it was handwritten with a batch number. So it wasn't the labels, they were handwritten. I mean, that's scope for making a mistake before we go any further. But as time progressed, I think I mentioned it, a guy went to our local centre. It's called the Life Centre. And he went in and he got his first one, I think it was. And he asked for the card. No, actually, he came home and then said he should have got the card. And he went back and they said it's all on computer now, which is fine. But as we know from Alex and Jonathan, that didn't end well. Because if it's on the computer, you've not actually checked it. And the people who are doing it, how many mistakes are they making? That is really worrying. But no, sometimes you get a card, sometimes you don't. But what they're trying to do is get it all on computer. That's so it's wide open and anybody can check for you. Yeah, works well, doesn't it? Whereas if you've got a card in your pocket, that would work even better. It should be exactly like the vets, because that's a system that's known and it works. We've never had a problem with that. I've still got Mayer's vet passport, his pet passport, not to leave the country, just a history of what he had when he had it. When you look at it, you've got the batch numbers, you've got the name of it, the date and time it was injected, the whole thing is there. And it takes them 2 seconds because they're used to the system. And it might be considered to be, you know, quite primitive that you peel this label off, but sometimes that's better. Particularly if you've got idiots in charge of IT who are doing it wrong. I mean, how you can, if they've got something in front of them that they've actually given you, like Jonathan, where he had Pfizer, only it says he had the AZ one. How can that happen? They're in different packets, got different names on. How can that happen? Surely you can scan a code or something, but it went wrong to the point that if you went back for another one, they could give you the wrong one, and who knows what impact that would have. Just watch the vets, because they know what they're doing. Do it like a vet, apart from the temperature taking, obviously. But they've proved that that system works. And they've, I think, have a harder job, because although you get some patients, like me, awkward, with a vet, they've got to deal with the fact that the animal is kicking it off. And you've got to hold the animal down. You've got, you know, it's an animal. It's not listening to you. I think they have a harder job than the doctors. And it's the people at the vaccination centres who are making mistakes. But there again, what do you expect when it's the lead singer of McBusted? Just saying, let's get back to McBusted. I'll never get over that. Anthony's has got a little sticker with a batch number on. That's how it should be done. There you go. We all want to be treated like animals at a vet. If you want antibiotics in this country, that's your best bet. Go to the vet and tell them that, the dog's got a cough. You might get some antibiotics. Because if you go to your doctor, you stand no chance. No chance at all. Oh, that was a great scene with the number on the door. It was the look on his face. And you could just tell what he was thinking. That's great acting too, isn't it? Ted is just brilliant. I must admit, for the first couple of series, I don't think I appreciated Ted. But when you get to series 5 and 6, 6 in particular, Ted is just fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. If they don't give him the BAFTA, oh, that would be criminal. Criminal. And yet I noticed that Kate's hair got really long in one series, didn't it? And she had it tied back. And I thought, whoa, that looks really different. She looked like a totally different person. Well, no spoilers, but she went back to short. I wondered if it was to do with her and the husband. Well, I think it's her husband. The one who looks after the kid. And when they were back together, I think the hair got longer and then it got shorter again. So that's on and off, on and off. That was a kind of plot aside to it that was never really investigated much. But quite nice for not doing that, that it wasn't laboured. You know, I hate it when you've got a series and all of a sudden the murder they're investigating or whatever it is they're investigating is sidelined while they dive off for 20 minutes into a domestic situation. I think that was just enough for you to get the pressure on her without overdoing it. But I then remember after the first year, I'd totally forgotten that she had a kid because it doesn't come up that often, which is good. You know, I don't like all of that. What was the pink bra all about on WhatsApp? Oh, Tony. Rachel went on holiday with Nina and Chidge, her mum and dad. And they did this swimming with dolphins thing. And Rachel had a bikini on. So she gets on the back of this dolphin and the dolphin's swimming away and Rachel's having a whale of a time. I think her dad was there, you know, like taking photos on the side of the pool. And he looked at her and he went, Rach. And as she's going through the water, this bikini top had disappeared. So a good few years later, it was her birthday and we decided to give her a gag gift, a funny gift. So we got a blow up dolphin. And I said to Mike, we just need to get it a bra. We need a bra for the dolphin. So we went out shopping looking for a bra and there was this pink one. And they were giving it away price wise because it must have been a size 2, a UK size 2. We struggled to get it on the dolphin, put it like that. So we put this pink bra top thing, it was the top off a bikini, onto the blow up dolphin and we wrapped the whole thing in wrapping paper. We then went out for lunch to celebrate Rachel's birthday. And we had this huge parcel there wrapped in this paper. And the person who was serving us was like, oh, you know, happy birthday. And she was desperate to see what was in this thing. So when Rachel opened it in the middle of the restaurant, it was a blow up dolphin with a bra on it to remind her of this holiday she'd had. And the dolphin was called Budvan. And she's still got it in her bedroom today. So, yeah, that's what it was all about. And you should have seen some photos there of Rachel with said dolphin and the pink bra. Okay, can't grow together. Renee. Do we have to come to Holland for that?
Being rude.
Oh, Kim totally agrees being good friends first makes for a long relationship. It does. I mean, if you can't be together like friends, how on earth... One, would you stick together anyway, even in good times? But how would you cope in tough times? And in everybody's life, there's going to be some tough times. I mean, we were already going through it, weren't we, with Dad being ill, particularly like the last 6 months. And then when he died, you know, we then thought, well, in a way, it's a relief that he's not suffering anymore, that we don't have to, you know, that Mum isn't suffering because she was struggling with him being that ill. You can relax a bit, but we couldn't because within a couple of months, we knew that Maya didn't have long. How do you go through all of that if you're not friends? You know, I can't imagine, and I know people do it, that they're like, that the lady in the relationship picks up the phone and talks to her best friend and the guy in the relationship picks up the phone and talks to his best friend. Why don't you just talk to each other? You have to be really good friends, I would have thought, for it to last a long, long time. No matter what, we'll always be friends, won't we?
Yeah.
Which was what I said to him the first week.
Yeah.
Friends, so important, I said. And him, innocent as anything, he's looking at me like, yeah, yeah, whatever you say. Not having a clue. Oh, I was right, though, wasn't I, Mike?
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Can't untype it. No, Renee, that's fine. But do we have to come to Holland for that? Oh. They should do that with all the meds they give us. They should, Kim. They should look at this as an opportunity. Root and branch improvements to everything. As far as I know, my medical records aren't on computer, but, you know, who knows these days? Who knows? But I don't particularly want them on computer. But what I do want is an accurate record. Because if you go in with an inaccurate record and you say, oh, just a minute, that's not right, they don't believe you. They won't change it. It's like, oh, no, no, that's what was put down. And how do you prove it? They will not listen to you, which is very poor, but that's what happens. Ted Lasso. No, not Ted Lasso. Ted Hastings, Superintendent Ted Hastings on Line of Duty. He is fabulous. Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the wee donkey. Gets me every time. Oh, that one's a line of the season. That alone, that single line, he should get the BAFTA. I hope he does. I better had. Jonathan obviously had one of the Sun readers rather than a mirror reader doing the admin. That's what I said when they put the call out. I remember thinking to myself, this won't end well. And for some people, you know, at least Jonathan knew, and Jonathan knows his GP because he sees him quite a lot. My GP would need to know who I actually was, not see me since I was in a school uniform. But luckily for Jonathan, he was able to say, no, that's not what happened. This was what happened. And he believed him and changed it. But I can imagine a lot of people walking in there will walk out with it unchanged. They should listen to the people, the patients. But the problem is there are so many patients that are just like, yes, doctor, no, doctor, whatever you say, doctor. And this is how Harold Shipman became Harold Shipman. I mean, so many people, I'm assuming you know about Harold Shipman. He was a doctor in Hyde in the UK, which is north.
Not far from here.
Northeast of Manchester, yeah. Hyde. Yeah, not far from here, about literally 12 miles, 15 miles. Elderly GP, everybody loved him. He had time for everybody. He went in and had tea with them and everything. And that was all very well till he started killing them. Just injecting morphine and boom, they were dead. And the thing with it was that was the most shocking of all. All of the coroners and whoever, no one was joining the dots. It actually took one of the local undertakers. And she was twigging about it because she was thinking there's a lot of old ladies dying, sat up in a chair, fully clothed, whose doctor just happens to be Harold Shipman, who has literally just had an appointment with the doctor. And she, well, what does she do with that information? Where do you go? Can you imagine walking into the police? I think this GP that everybody absolutely adores is killing his patients. And there were still people after it was proved that that was what he was doing. They're like, oh, but he's a good doctor. Start off from a position of don't trust a living soul and work up from there. And he was doing that. I think they reckoned, they got at him for about 20-odd women, well, and men, but more women. It was women he had a thing for. But overall, they reckoned when they went back years through the medical records, it could have been as many as 150 to 180. Don't just trust them because they're a doctor. Treat them with the same scepticism you would treat anybody else and look after yourself before he's looked after you for you and you are 6 foot under. The only reason they got him in the end was that he'd faked the will of one of these women. But this was years after he started doing it. He kind of just got greedy. If he hadn't have done that, I don't know whether they would actually have caught him for it. But bad news. Bad news. When Kim first went water skiing, he fell and didn't know how to let go of the rope. Needless to say, the bathing suit came off. Oh, Kim. I remember saying afterwards, you know, you need a full suit, like a diving suit. Oh, Kim. This is, you realise this is putting me off totally, don't you? No, no one needs to see this. No, not me, no. It was around your ankles you were able to recover. Oh, God, no, I'd need it. I'd need it stapled on. It needs to be stapled on. Oh, dear. Anthony says he was also caught by his computer system. Yes, he was. He'd been changing the medical records, but not realised the system kept an audit trail of every change he made. Yeah, what he was doing was after the event, he was backfilling the medical records to say that they were drug addicts. I mean, we're talking here ladies in their 90s. They were not drug addicts, but that's what they were saying. Always good to know how your computer system works, isn't it, Anthony? headphones on. She's watching TV. Love her totally. We'd get away with it. It's her birthday on Tuesday. Ooh. You stick out as a good Catholic girl. Okay. Are you racking up the good husband points like Renee? Tuesday. Wasn't there an event on Tuesday or something? What was I thinking about with Tuesday? No, maybe not. I've got lots of sessions on tonight as well, so I'll be working till heaven knows what time. I've got all of that to consider while we're at it. So what we've got planned for the end of the week, it doesn't feel like Thursday for me. That bank holiday has thrown me into disarray. I'm behind with the emails and I'm behind with the prep. But apart from that, the mail was actually ready to be sent this morning, but I forgot to put it in the system. So at least that mail will be with you shortly. Then I've got to decide what I'm actually demonstrating, because I might have time for one more. I don't know. Oh, can I make my mind up on the night? Well, there'll be some in the email, so you know where we're heading. But there might be an extra. You never know. There might be an extra. So what have you got planned? Are you training tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm training people from East Cheshire Hospice.
Oh, they'll all have been vaccinated, won't they? Isn't that where Joe works?
Joe?
Moore?
I don't know. No, he's in Macclesfield.
Oh, no, his is in over towards Chesterway, isn't it?
Oh.
Oh, in that case, no. Oh, Tony's got his own spreadsheet. Oh, that's so cool, Renee, that you can go together and get the same date, same time. That you see, because you want to support each other. That's a good way to do it. That is a good way to do it. My fear here is they're doling out the AZ. The guy who died, the only one we know of who died with the AZ vaccine, was 59. So they've banned it here for use in the under 30s. I don't know how the maths on that work out either. But I can imagine that you toddle along and they decide to give you different vaccines and stuff. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys, come on. I think it'd be the AstraZeneca one, which I must admit, I'd rather have the Pfizer one. Don't think you'd get the Pfizer one easily because isn't it 10 times the price?
Think it is.
The AZ one's cheap. You might die, but it's cheap. But Mike's saying nothing about that. Ignore it. Oh, yes, the match didn't end well, did it, Mike? You've now got 3 in 5 days.
Yeah.
Is there any talk of us getting points deducted for that?
There hasn't been.
I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. Mind you, I guess they think that'd kick it off even more.
Yeah.
But Mike will have it on his calendar for the dealing with of. But 3 matches in 5 days. They've only got themselves to blame. Well, they've only got the fans to blame, haven't they? No, they've got themselves to blame for doing the Super League thing. Yeah. Why did they announce that when they did? Why didn't they leave it till the summer?
Don't know.
Because then people would be on the jollies and they wouldn't be protesting, would they? They should have thought of that, shouldn't they? I would have thought of that. Gunners will be rolled over. Do we have the finalists now in the Europeans?
Yes, City and Chelsea.
That's going to be a good one. And aren't they playing it in Poland?
No, Turkey.
Turkey. That is ridiculous. It's like they're not treating a global pandemic seriously.
Yeah, money.
But just move it to Wembley. Just move it to Wembley.
Somebody made the point that if they did that, then it's double standards. Because it's the Europeans in a few weeks and they couldn't just move those somewhere.
Yes, I know, but with the Europeans, you've got countries coming together, you know, multiple countries, players coming together from multiple countries representing their country.
Yeah.
Right? So with that, that's not the same. With this situation, you have two teams who have made the final, who both happen to be from the UK, England. So just play it in London and be done.
I agree.
Because you don't want fans. It's not just the players. You don't want fans travelling. If there can be 10,000 fans, of which 4,000 would be coming from England, you're putting them at risk, their families at risk, the people who are transporting them there at risk. Just do it here.
Totally agree.
Oh, I should be in charge of the country, Boris. Yes. Step aside. Not that I agree with your curtains. I might have to redo the decor again. But honestly, that's idiotic. So one final's taking place in Turkey with two English teams who are flying to Turkey, and the other final's in Poland. And who's playing in that?
United or Roma or an Arsenal or Villarreal.
Crying out loud. Well, do you know, if United and Arsenal get there, it's exactly the same scenario, play at Wembley. Is there some money involved here? Is that the problem? Yeah, more than likely. More than likely. Common sense is really lacking in the world today. I know, with something like that, whatever your arguments are around it, let logic take over and say it's safer to play it here. And it's not like we haven't got a stadium. It's not like that stadium hasn't been tested with COVID conditions. It has. So why not just play it here? Both from the perspective of it being safer, and we are still in the middle of a global pandemic, look at India, but also from just a logical perspective for the planet. Why are you carrying 10,000 people over to Turkey? That means flights. That means fossil fuel. Why don't we just do it here? London's far enough without taking it any further. Yes, I'm beginning to sound like what's-her-face, aren't I, Greta? But in this circumstance, that's right. That's the right thing to do. Just play it here or don't play it at all. But there will be money involved somewhere. Somewhere. Because there was 9,200 tickets available for the final. And this is out of normally probably about 80,000. So we're looking at maybe just over a tenth of what would normally be available. And out of those 9,200, 2,000 each will be going to the teams in the final. Where's the other 5,200 going? And now the answer will be complimentary tickets for people via UEFA. But with the greatest of respect, who needs 5,200 comps these days? It should be, didn't I say to you, 450 and 450 and 200 comps?
Yeah.
As a gesture of goodwill, acknowledging the fact of how few fans are actually going to get there. Even if each team took 4,500, that's nothing by comparison to what they could take. How many season ticket holders have we got? It's about 60,000.
Probably about 60,000.
60,000. I mean, there's no way all the season ticket holders would get tickets anyway. The stadiums aren't big enough. But at least if you've got 20,000, 30,000 each. But to offer them 2,000 is just diabolical. But there you go. Yes, Greta. For once, I agree with the girl. She never smiles, that girl. But when she's saying, like, you should think about the planet when you think about travelling. In this circumstance, they don't need to travel. They do not need to leave England. So why risk it? But money. Money, money, money. Hello, Tracy. Was that good news I heard about your vaccine? Well, we've had lots of interesting news about vaccines here, but mainly about how our records are open for public scrutiny. Oh, Nathan, she's somewhat autistic, which does that to her. I think she's very clever in how she deals with idiots like Trump. When he had a go at her, what was it he said to her? And she said, she came back on a Twitter bio and it was hysterical. So, yeah, can't agree with her all the time, the way she goes on. But I can see with this, we're not going to have a planet to live on the way it's going. And in the middle of a global pandemic, people think that it's OK to travel for football. There are no words for idiots like that. It should be like America. Well, there's only America. Play American football, isn't there?
Mm.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about it. We will see. We will see about that. Right, we're going to head off. Oh, first jab, 10th of May. Second jab, who knows? Oh, it's one of those, is it? Oh, well, at least the first one's ready. So the 10th next Tuesday, isn't it? No, it's not. It's Monday. Fingers crossed for you for Monday. But we will head off. I actually had a 7 o'clock, which I'm recording, but I've also got a 9 o'clock, and then I've got a midnight, and I've got to deal with Mike in the meanwhile because the emails need dealing with. So we will head off. We will say good night from me
and good night from me,
and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.